Score. All right. So, my name is Dr. Kiri Hudson. I'm affectionately known as Dr. C. And okay, we got two people coming in. Let me just go ahead and admit them. But this is about the contemplative coach exploring solitude and silence. And so welcome. I am excited that you are interested in this course. And we only have about 30 minutes, I think 30 to 45 minutes. So I just want to jump right in. I don't know if you've all have heard of solitude and silence. Probably in the Christian circles you may have, but it is really, really an important discipline. And why is it important for coaches? Well, for a lot of reasons. I mean, we have to be active listeners to our clients. We have to be present. We have to be discerning. And so, if we're going to give that to our clients, we have to first be able to have the, how do I want to say it, the wherewithal to do it. And a lot of times, and especially in the times that we're living in where everything is just technology driven, oftentimes we don't know how to sit still and just let God speak into us, pour into us, where we're not necessarily asking God for something, but we're just sitting in God's presence so that He might speak to us. And so oftentimes when we talk about solitude and silence, it's uncomfortable for a lot of people because we're not used to sitting still. We live in a time where there's always something going on, there's always something to do. If we have our phones connected to our bodies, then there's always somebody that's reaching out that needs something, you know? And when do we sit down and turn it off and turn off the world and say, okay, God, this is our time together. And I need you to fill me up because nobody wants to be pouring from an empty cup. You know, when you think of that metaphor, when you think of that picture, a cup that's empty. And someone's wanting something out of the cup, but it's empty. They might be frustrated that they're not getting what they thought they would get. And it's the same for us as clients. I'm sorry, as coaches, we have to remember that in some ways, in a lot of ways, we represent God. And then we're helping our clients discover what's already within them. And so that requires discernment. It requires active listening. It requires being able to hear what's not being said. And I argue that solitude and silence is a very, very important part of that. Even if you're not doing solitude and silence and you feel like you've been effective, at some point, you're going to wear out, you're going to run out of gas, and you're going to need something to rev you back up. A little bit about me, I've been in ministry over 25 years. I am an ordained minister. I received my graduate degrees from Ashland Seminary in Ohio. I have a Master of Divinity and then also a doctorate in Black Church Studies. So I'm very familiar with leadership. I've been in leadership for over 25 years. I recognized maybe, I want to say 5 years ago, I was doing the things that I do in ministry like I've always done, but I started noticing something about me. I started noticing that, you know, I was irritated with people who wanted things that I no longer wanted to give them. The things that were easy for me to do, you know, the anointing, the, you know, feeling like God is with you when you're doing a task, like I felt like that had dried up and gone somewhere. My typical ways of connecting to God wasn't working anymore. It just felt like a very dry place. And I was wondering, like, what happened? Like, I know I spend time with God. I know I study. What's going on? And so the other piece of it was, because I was irritated and I had these gifts where I had to work with people and they needed me to listen, but I was irritated because I didn't want to help them. I had to find out what was going on. And what I realized is that I had put church in a place of trying to, I used church as my way of having a relationship with God. I really hadn't done the deep work of my own personal relationship with God and then church being a complement of that. Does that make sense? And so God began to get my attention and to let me know because I wasn't hearing it from the pulpit that you need me, you need to just sit in my presence. I don't need you to necessarily open up the Bible. I don't necessarily need you to go to church every Sunday. I don't necessarily need you to even be serving. I need for you to sit down and let me minister to your soul. And so, if you can imagine being in leadership for over 20 years and then feeling like God is nudging me to do something, but not really having anyone who could speak to me about what was happening, because a lot of us, we put on our church faces, this is how we go to church. And so to think that I'm doing everything I've been doing and all of a sudden I have no joy or anything, like that was very heavy, very, very, very heavy. Long story short, I ended up I have this book that we're hopefully going to be using in the class, Invitation to Solitude and Silence. Now, believe it or not, God was already at work because I had bought that as a CD probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, but I had never listened to it. And it's amazing that God brought that up in my spirit and say, you have a CD that you could listen to. And I just felt a push to do that. So I did that, and that's how I got introduced to Ruth Haley Barton, who's the author of the book that we'll be studying. She offers what you call a transforming community, which is a 2-year place where you go to Chicago and you're kind of like in a convent, with maybe 100 other leaders or pastors, and you sit in silence. You did sit in small groups, and she's teaching you the disciplines over a 2-year period. So can I tell you the when I signed up for it, the second time I went for the retreat, when I came back, I felt so hard on my heart that God was saying, I want you to sit down. I don't want you to do anything. Now think about it. If you're a preacher or you're teaching or you're over the teaching ministry of your church and you feel like God is saying, sit down. It's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to tell this to my pastor? What am I going to tell the people, the parishioners, the people who I have a class? Like, how do I just sit down? And yet, that's what God was telling me to do. And so the instructions were sit down, but I still want you to go to church. I just want you to sit in the pews with everybody else and just sit. And I'll let you know when you can go back. God did that for me for a year. And I have not been the same since. And so this is why this is so important to me, this class, because there are some things that you and I have to do for the integrity of our work, for the fact that we love helping other people. And yet sometimes that gets mixed up because we love people, we have a heart to help people, and we want to do that all day because it feels good and we know that we're good at it. But there comes a point where God might need to shift some things in your life, might need to address some mindsets that you and I have had for years that now God's ready to talk to touch. He may need to be preparing us for a new season that we've never seen before, that he's going to ask us to be a trailblazer for. And we think we're equipped and we're not. Solitude and silence is not just about prayer, and it's not just about sitting in silence. There are things that God wants to say to us on a very different level, a very deeper level, and the level where our soul resides. And that only comes by sitting in his presence, not asking for a thing, being uncomfortable with everything that comes up in your body when you have to sit quietly for even 5 minutes. It's the hardest thing if you've ever done it. It's like you're sitting there and then all of a sudden, oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to call this person. I need to send this email. And God is asking that you sit and do nothing. You will be amazed how your mind just runs because that's what it's used to doing all the time. But God is not in that. God is in being able to sit, being able to contemplate, being able to let him search your soul and my soul to see what needs to be addressed. Now, I'll tell you this. When I started this process and when I went to the transforming community, I actually did it twice over a 2-year period. I started learning things about the God of my imagination. I had this vision of God before, and now I have a different vision of God God showed me more of him in a way that I had never seen, that I couldn't get from a sermon or teaching. I had to find it out for myself. And God gave me that great gift. He also showed me some things that were broken. And when we are broken, we'll be broken on this side of heaven until God calls us home, right? But there's a part of us that God wants to heal so that we can help others heal. That if we go through something, abuse or depression, that we're unashamed to talk about that and bring that to his people who need to hear it. And God showed me about my depression. And as a leader in the church, oftentimes that's stigmatized. And so I'm kind of laying out for you my journey because I want you to see it started with me having a willingness to sit down, to shut everything off, and to let God be God in my life. And from that, God redid some things with ministry. He did some things with my perspective, and he did some things even with my audience. And so now my coaching is really focused on helping people live from a place of rest and not rush because it is so valuable. It's so valuable if we do it. So I want to stop there for a moment and see if there are any questions or comments you may have. I'd love to hear from you.
Well, this love this.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just want to say I love this. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. What about it do you love? What's coming up for you?
Well, Sandra, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I've had several friends that have gone through the Transforming Center program. I have not. So when I saw what you were doing and the text you were using, I was like, wow, this could be kind of a way to get. I've always wished I could do something like that, but it takes time and it's expensive.
Yes, it is. It
You
is a
know? And so I was just like, well, this is maybe a way I could get a taste of that. And you're a coach, and I need my CEUs to renew my IC. I mean, it was just. Yes, I was really looking forward today, and I just appreciate you starting with your story. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That's encouraging.
I'll hand it to Sandra.
I was just going to ask, how will this class be set up? Will we have times when we are doing breakout sessions with each other? How will we do the actual class?
Right. That's a good question. So it will be virtual, of course, like it is now. We have 14 sessions, 14 classes. The first one and the last one are only an hour long. You will obviously be reading the book, and each week is divided by the chapters in the book. Your homework will be the practice that you're invited to, that will be explained in the chapter, and then you'll be invited to do. And then you're basically, we're going to be talking about that as a group and then also individually. So there will be breakout groups to discuss kind of what your experience was. And then, of course, I'm going to be not only teaching from the book, but even helping you to see things in a new way, answer questions that you might have, because solitude and silence is no joke. I mean, it can be challenging when you're not used to doing it. And I want to be a soft place to land for many of you as you try this and recognize the things that are coming up, the challenges. Oh my gosh, I can't focus, all those things which are a natural part of it. But to answer your question, there will be breakout groups during our class time. You won't be doing that necessarily out of class. You won't need to, but we'll be doing it during our class time. We'll be having conversations. I'm very conversational. I don't really like to be a talking head. So I'm going to want you all to talk with me about your challenges and we work through that together. We coach each other. There'll be an opportunity to do that. And yeah, I think it'll be a great experience for anyone who signs up for the class. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
All right. All right.
Dr. Hudson, thank
Yes.
you, first of all, for taking the time to share information with us. I have two questions. The first is pretty straightforward. It sounds like this is a Christian framework, and I'm wondering if the skills we use are applicable to those we coach who may not have any religious background? Are they translatable? And the second question I have is, I've gone through like some trainings like positive intelligence, and they say the best time to do this is when your life is crazy because then you learn the skills. And I'm wondering if this is true. Just personally have, I mean, I know we all have things going on. I have some pretty major family transitions going on and travel things happening. And so I'm just wondering what your perspective is. It better when we feel like we have a slower period in life to take this class, or is it actually better to, like, when things are more hectic and there's a lot going on, to start using these skills?
I absolutely love that question, those two questions right there. So let me answer the second one first. There isn't a right time, if you will, to do this because life, as we hear a lot of times, though you all have heard this phrase, life be lifing, which means that life is so unpredictable. Things could be going well, and then all of a sudden something happens. You never know from day to day, from moment to moment. And then also, even if things say were going well in your life and you feel like, oh, this would be a good time to do it, God can still be wanting to get your attention about something you're not aware of. Really, at the end of the day, it's not so much what's happening in your life, but really a check-in to your inner soul to really have God assess that and walk you through what that needs to look like. Because what we don't know is where God is taking us. And he has to prepare us for whatever it is he has prepared for us. And so even though life could be going well, what if God has a plan for you next year and you have no idea what it's going to be, but then he needs to prepare you for that. I would say for me, I guess a good example might be like I shared the whole piece with depression for me. I didn't at first. I was told you don't tell people that you'll be canceled, all these different things. And what ended up happening is I was able to enter into therapy and also get with a spiritual director in my process of discovering that, hey, depression is real, even for Christians, and that you're going to be a face for it. You're not going to be ashamed of it. You're going to tell other people, hey, I got all these graduate degrees, but I still struggle with depression. I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not entered into this spiritual discipline, because it was there that I could feel the embrace of God. It was there where all of my fears were challenged. I couldn't go to really anyone about it because I didn't trust anyone. But God let me know through this discipline and through others that, hey, there's a reason for this. I'm not even going to fully heal you from it because I want you to remember, and I want you to have a soft place for people who might come to you about it. And I have been getting people who have been depressed, and they want to talk about it because it's so stigmatized, you know? So when things were kind of falling apart, at least internally for me, and I decided to take this journey, I had no idea solitude and silence would be a part of that. Like, I just knew something was wrong. And it really had nothing to do with my outside experiences. You know, everything was going well. I looked good. I looked like I was ready and prepared all the time. But internally, I knew something was off. And we all know that, you know, things that are going on internally is not a, the outside is not a true representative of that. And so silence and solitude gives us an opportunity to look within. It gives us an opportunity to look within and to become more aware of what we're not seeing or choosing not to look at. And so in that way, it's challenging. Sometimes it's painful, but it's necessary, especially for us as coaches. I can't say that enough. I think the level of discernment we have to have and the level of empathy that we have to have, and even transparency when necessary. Solitude and silence helps us accomplish that. Your first question, it's not just for Christian circles, I guess I would say. Solitude and silence is it has all kinds of physical benefits. If you didn't necessarily bring into the Christian piece of it or name God or any of that, you wouldn't have to. There is so much out here about the importance of solitude and silence, especially in the times that we're living in, our generations. There is so much technology and things that are vying for our time, and we fall right into it, and we don't realize how much it is sabotaging our inner man. You can use the word soul, that you can use that in any circle. That doesn't necessarily have to be connected to the Christian, right? We all have a soul. At least we all assume that we do. So even if you're talking about this from a non-Christian perspective, you can talk about the soul. You could talk about the physical benefits, the mental. All of that is there. That's in counseling research, all of that. So there are a lot of different ways you can come at it if you had a non-Christian client. Just a lot. And you'll be introduced to some of that. You're going to get curious, and there's a lot out here, ladies, about it. So, hope that answers your questions. They were great. Thank you. Okay, so let me just, I want to pull up something for you all. Oh, yes, go ahead.
Sorry, I have one more question. Are you, well, what does class hold overlap or be in any way related to somatic coaching or somatic principles?
I
Or
don't
is it's kind of its own thing?
it is, but it's not. Somatic coaching has it's a much more broader perspective, a much more broader set of things that you're learning. If for this, we're only working on one discipline, which is silence and solitude. There are several disciplines that you can use in somatic coaching. That's about the body. So in that way, it does overlap, but this is going to be more specific and going to be more so about the inner man, not just, paying attention to your body and doing different things for that. But there's also, this is where the spiritual component comes in my opinion, that makes it a little different than somatic coaching, because we're talking about living for God. We're understanding His ways, we're understanding His integrity, we're wanting to live by His principles. And silence, when we're sitting in silence and solitude, we're actually looking and wanting God to speak to us. And we're believing what He is saying, versus somatic, where that there might not be this spiritual piece that they're bringing into it. But I think it's great. I think that's a great question, because even if they're calling it something else, there are some of the principles that are interacting that are the same. And to me, that shows how important this is.
Very helpful. I did an informational call last week with another place on somatic coaching, and then I got the email about this, and I was like, I think this is, yeah, you explained that very well. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
So we're not just, let me say this. So we're not just listening in somatic. You're kind of a heightened awareness of your body, and you're listening to your body, whereas with this coaching, it's a heightened awareness of, not that our body's not a part of it, but we're actually listening to God and what He's saying to us and our spirits.
Because we are, we in both, we're listening to our body, right? Yes. And then we're also looking for direction. We're seeking God to show us things about ourselves that not necessarily, well, it can affect us physically, but it's more than physical. It's spiritual, it's emotional. And not to say that those things can't come out in somatic coaching. But for us, there's a certain paradigm that we follow. There's a certain list of in terms of our integrity, our virtues. There's a we have a set, we have a standard for those things in the Christian faith. And also, this interacts with our calling. I don't know that somatic coaching will speak to that, but as coaches, that's very important. Not only for us as we continue to grow and develop, but even as we're going through it ourselves, we're now able to tap into something that we've experienced, and we can invite others to do the same. And you all will have gone through that and then have experienced it. And oh my gosh, I mean, just wait. You just wait how amazing it is to go through this. You'll probably go through it all your life. Once you get acquainted with it, you'll understand just how important it is. You'll understand how great you feel and how different it is from how you're currently feeling with life and the way that you're balancing your time and your rest and the things that are important to you. That stuff, all of that shifts in this process. And of course, that shifts your perspective, which shifts the way that you relate to others and shifts how you do your work. I mean, it impacts everything. Okay. Well, I want to pull something up for you all. Now this is, hold on, let me see if I can share my screen here. There we go. Okay, there it is. All right. Do you all see like a questionnaire on your screen? Yes. Okay. So when I went to the first TC retreat, we did what was called an assessment. Now you all will do an assessment in the course, but it won't be this one. This is the assessment I took at TC, and it kind of helps you to see maybe what's going on in your life internally that you realize is there, but you don't quite have an answer to, or you realize it's there, but you just kind of decided to ignore it. But you know, these are telltale signs that there's a need for rest. There's something that you need to pay attention to that God wants to show you, that these might even be ways God is speaking to you and you don't realize it. So, what we had to do was she would read the question and then we would mark what was applicable to us. This is, do I feel this always? Do I feel this often? Sometimes, rarely, never. I'm not asking you to answer today or anything like that. I just want you to think about these as I read them aloud and ask yourself, okay, yeah, that I do feel that, you know, and just make a note for yourself because this can help you even assess whether or not this is a class that you want to take right now. Okay. So I'm going to read this, and this is the How's Your Soul assessment. I want to give Ruth Haley Barton credit for this. This is also in the back of her book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. Okay, so this is something that she created and she uses it often, and I think it's pretty powerful. So, number one, more and more often, I notice that I am going through the motions of the Christian life, championing things I am not currently experiencing in my own life. Manufacturing emotion that I am not feeling, engaging in kingdom action, but aware that I don't really care. And you guys can probably guess what I chose for that one. Number two, I'm aware of a nagging sense that something is not quite right, but I don't seem to be able to take the time or make the effort to look into it. The truth is, I'm not even sure I know how. Three, I find myself rushing from one thing to the next without time to really pay attention to what's going on in and around me. Four, I am keeping up with what my work requires, but deep down I feel that I have lost touch with who I am in God and what He has called me to do. That's a big one, in my opinion. Five, I am tired, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. I don't really know how to get rested. Six, I am aware of an underlying irritability and restlessness just beneath the surface of my life. Seven, I cannot stop working even when I know I need to. Eight, I have become emotionally numb, unable to experience a full range of human emotions. I think we're almost done. Nine, I find myself increasingly giving in to escapist behaviors. Don't miss this one. Eating, mindless television watching, substance abuse, shopping or spending, pornography, etc. Or escapist fantasies, dreaming about being somewhere else or having a different life. 10, I do not have time for attending to my human needs. Exercise, eating right, getting enough sleep, doctor's appointments and medical procedures, picking up dry cleaning, getting the car washed, making home repairs, etc. 11. My most significant human relationships are getting shortchanged. 12. I don't have time to regularly engage in hobbies and other activities that bring me joy. 13. I find myself hoarding energy, avoiding people in the grocery store, holing up at home or in my office for fear that routine social interactions will rob me of that last bit of energy. 14. My spiritual practices have slipped. Even though I know that practices such as solitude, prayer, and personal reflection on scripture are life-giving, I find I don't have time or energy for them. 15. I feel isolated with no one to fully confide in and no one who fully understands my situation. 16. I am very good at seeing needs. That's what coaches do. Thinking my way into solutions and making strategic plans. But I am not as clear on how to discern the will of God, alone or together with other leaders. Aside from what sometimes feel like perfunctory prayers for wisdom, we don't have a clearly articulated practice for seeking God's will together. And then last, it has been a long time since I felt connected with the presence of God in my own life, beyond what I am accomplishing for God and for others. Sometimes I suspect that my vision for the promised land of how I or we are going to make a difference in the world has become more important to me than my own relationship with God. Wow. Wow. All right, so I'm going to bring you all back. Stop my sharing. All right. Any thoughts or questions come up for you all? Just want to give you a moment. And did you resonate with any of those? You don't have to tell me what, but did any of that speak to you on your soul level?
No
Let me
questions.
see. Yes. Yes. Yeah, see you all nodding your heads. Okay.
I have to confess, I forgot the session was being recorded. It did make me wonder, will all the sessions be recorded?
No. This
I
is for informational purposes for those who couldn't attend. They can hear it, but they won't know your names, I don't think.
think they will.
They'll see, well, they may see the pictures. Yeah.
They see her. Okay.
Yep.
Obviously, I'm getting all insecure about this, so I don't know which one of those questions that was, but it was one of
You know what? You all are the I would say the courageous ones to be here, willing to just see what this is about and sharing just a little bit about your journey. And I thank you for that, because if someone does hear it, maybe it's someone who feels the same way that you do and needs to know that somebody else is going through the exact same thing. Yeah. I can tell you that was 17 questions, probably 10 out of the 17. I think I was either at always or often. But I didn't know that when I was feeling irritated serving others. It was when I took that assessment that I became aware that the mindless TV watching, the eating, like I'm just like, oh, these are comfort foods. This is what we do. And not realizing there was a hole in my soul that God needed to fill. So it continues to be just a wonderful journey of discovering myself, discovering God in new and amazing ways on my own, and allowing God to do some things in me that he's never done before. And that's exciting to me.
Well, I think as coaches too, we've got to keep growing in self-awareness and
Absolutely.
keep stretching ourselves. And even if we don't, well, walk our clients through some or all of these procedures, just whatever, however we're changing and evolving is attractive to clients, and it's part of walking our talk.
And making, as it's always great when you have lived experience when you're trying to help someone with something, I mean, I guess book knowledge is helpful to a certain degree, but lived experience, it just has a deeper impact on you and even a deeper and more emotional way that you might share it with others. And all of this is a CEU. I mean, we're learning how to grow and develop even in this discipline. And I like that you bring up the fact that as coaches, we need to continue to develop. And this is probably not a likely way that people would think that we should develop, but it's very, very needful. And the more you get into it, the more you realize just how important it is, because the society ain't telling us to do this at all. They're like completely contrary to it. So, now we're upsetting. And here's the other thing, you picture everybody going down, one way in life or going a particular path, and then you choose this narrow one. The scripture talks about ch choosing the narrow path. And people are looking at you and they're curious. Why do you have peace? Why don't you get mad the way you used to? Why don't you, why are you so merciful and gracious? People are going to see it on us, even if we don't tell them. And isn't that really the important part of being a Christian, is showing others God, in us? The way that we show up in the world is very different from everyone else. And I tell you, this discipline helps you to do that. It develops you to do that. All right, well, any final questions or thoughts? I won't hold you all any longer.
Just makes me think of the, Sabbath principle. God rested on the seventh day as an example to show us how we could be fruitful and, what we needed to do. And it was so important to him that he made it a commandment. And yet we don't do that. And it isn't even just about one day. We can have the Sabbath every day, and it isn't just about, okay, I'm going to go take a nap, but it's about, okay, I'm going to set this time aside for this specific reason of resting and letting myself rejuvenate and letting myself be at the point so that I can be fruitful, so that I can keep going forward, so that I can be giving my best to God and to others.
I
And
love the way you
you're
said.
right that our society is the opposite of that and lies to us and tells us, oh, you shouldn't get 8 hours of sleep. You should be working and working and working and doing something,
That's
and
absolutely
it's
right.
all a lie from the devil.
And I love, I just love how you said that, all of it. And even if we're not necessarily doing this for coaching, what about our children? What about our significant others? What about the other people that are very close to us? And they start seeing these changes and wondering, I have three adult children, and it's very important that they see me respond to life in a way that's healthy. That's very important to me, because they're watching. I can tell them one thing, but if I'm not doing it, that's not consistent and it's not integrity. And I'm really interested in living a life of integrity, not necessarily perfection, but integrity. And one of the ways I feel we do that is taking care of our own selves before we reach out and try to help other folks. Sometimes we have to, but if we have the power and we make the time to do this, I really just think life looks a lot different. Life is, it's easier to swallow. It's easier to deal with, because there's a abiding peace and an abiding presence that you get through this process, and people will see it on you. They'll see it and they'll be curious. So I'm gonna,
What's the
yes.
class size? What would be your ideal kind of size for this class, participants?
I don't know that I would want to go over 20 folks. I would want it to be intimate. It would depend on what ILCT says it has to be. But even if, let's say, it was more than 20, then it would be my job to figure out a way to make it intimate, with groups and things like that. It doesn't have to be 20, but I do like intimacy when I'm with groups. I really enjoy that. I think that's important, especially with this discipline. But I would say in my mind, 20 folks would be good. Probably not more than that, unless ILCT suggests something different and has a reason for that. Yeah, that's what I would say. Okay. Well, if there's nothing left, I'll let you ladies go. I want to thank you for your time today. I do hope you sign up. And I ask that you pray about this before you do anything. And if something's resonating with you, give it a shot. You're worth it. God's going to speak. He is. All right. So thank you so much. Hope you all have
Thank
a
you.
great day and a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.